Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, this is AJ, welcome to Panelcast number 36. I'm here with
Brian.
And we are doing a special Panelcast outside of the theater in line for District 9, the midnight showing. We're going to be doing a shorter Panelcast for you, but it's going to be live, so you'll get over it. So with that, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into some of the stories and some of the stuff that we've been taking a look at throughout the week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.
And so we're back from break. This segment, like I said, we're doing a short segment because we're live outside of District 9 Theater. We're going to talk a little bit about the comics we read this week. Brian, what comics have you read this week?
Trying to start getting into reading the Resurrection comic that I bought quite a while ago, and I haven't really had much of a chance to sit down and do it. There are too many other things going on. I did also start reading some of the other comics that I had, mostly just the previews still that I got from Comic-Con. I had a huge stack of them. Started reading, there was a preview that they had for the new storylines with the Lanterns. And
Blackest Night?
Wasn't Blackest Night, or maybe it was. I think it was a Blackest Night preview issue, actually, number zero. And then I read it and realized that I had absolutely no idea what the hell was going on.
I had the same problem. I actually read up to issue number two, and I don't follow DC well enough to know what's going on or have a clue. So I don't feel bad you're not alone in that boat.
Yeah, basically all I know about it is that there's a whole rainbow of lanterns, and that's about it. I know they have emotion-based powers, but I don't...
So it's like the Skittles of the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, well, I was thinking more of like the Gay Pride, but Skittles is fine.
Yeah, either or. I mean, they're both tasty and fruity-flavored, so...
Yeah, that's... Sure.
Anything else you've been reading?
No, that was about it. Like I said, I tried to sit down and start reading Resurrection, and for whatever reason, I forgot about it and picked it back up. So I haven't actually read enough of it to make any sort of commentaries on it.
Cool, cool. This week, I again caught up on my monthlies, which have come out every week. So maybe we should call them weeklies from now on. I read Absolution number 1 by Christos Gage, who we talked to at Con, and it's just fucking glorious. I love it. Started reading Dynamo 5, actually got up to issue 17 today, and that one was pretty good. It's put out by Image, and I think I like trying to describe like why I like enjoy the Image comics, is even though they're superheroes, I think it's because they get more violent and more action-y than the Marvel stuff that, you know, we've grown up reading, so I'm really enjoying it. And I'll probably have a more in-depth review about it as soon as I'm caught up on the issues and put it up on the site. The other thing that I read this week was Atomic Robo, the new volume, which Red 5 sent us, and loved it. You should check it out. If you're not reading Red 5, go to nuclearpower.com and check out the 8-bit theater comic that they do, as well as Warbot, which is the most depressing comic book comic I've ever read, but it's glorious in its depressingness. You've read that, right?
No, I have not.
I hate you. Anyway, and yeah, that's pretty much all I've read this week. I mean, it's been, Dark Reign is driving me crazy. Blackest Night is too detailed for me to have to go read 2 years worth of Green Lantern comic books to understand what's going on. What I did want to talk about, though, is that the Ultimatum series came to a close, which we talked about in the last panel cast, and already the new Ultimate Comics have started out, and it's called Ultimate Comics, Spider-Man number 1, Ultimate Comics Avengers number 1. And, I mean, they waste no time. I mean, you barely get to relax from the last Ultimate, the Ultimatum series, which just ended. And this one starts up, and I really felt like it demeaned the Ultimatum story, because I don't know if you remember, Brian, but I talked about how Ultimate Spider-Man Requiem was a really good story, and, you know, it was all sleepy-eyed and stuff towards the end of it.
Yeah.
But almost immediately, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 1 comes out and totally negates all that, and I'm like, oh.
Well, reboots?
Kind of, yeah. Well, I mean, they're supposed to take place, like Ultimate Comics Spider-Man starts 6 months afterwards. Now, Ultimate Comics Avengers number 1 starts 3 weeks afterwards. So it's almost like, I wouldn't say a reboot, but like, you know, here's what's happened, what's going to happen now type of thing. And so, I don't know, the fact that it came out so soon kind of just ruined the whole Ultimate of storyline for me. So yeah, there you go. And that's about it. All I've got for comics. You got anything else?
No, but I did want to say that I'm going to be throwing up my review for Vatican City, Las Vegas. I meant to do that earlier, and it was one of the other things that I forgot to do, so I'm going to be putting that up, so everybody that didn't listen to my rant on the last panelcast can go ahead and look it up on my Brian's Madness post, and it'll be there.
Awesome, awesome. So with that, we'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about something else. Be right back.
Hi, this is Brandi Offset of BrandiOffset.com, and every week I listen to Forbidden Panel's Panelcast because AJ and Brian are the coolest dudes that I know, and because I like to hear my advertising in between the panelcasts.
And we're back, and now we're going to talk a little bit about some movie news. AJ, you had something that you wanted to say about the glorious director, Frank Darabont.
Yes, one of the biggest news items that came out this week was the fact that Frank Darabont will be writing and producing the Walking Dead adaptation for AMC, which I find absolutely glorious and happy about. I mean, Frank Darabont, we're big fans of his movies.
Yeah, definitely. His movies are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we had Shawshank Redemption. I mean, I still can watch that movie over and over and over again. Green Mile and then The Mist. I forgave him for what he did at the end of it because I think it made more sense what he did, almost in a Watchmen sense. But, you know, he has never been hit or miss. He's always been hit for me. And so hearing that he's doing The Walking Dead adaptation now is just, I don't know, made me all giddy and happy. And we'll see how that turns out.
Right. Well, I mean, we love Walking Dead, as everybody knows, and then to have somebody like Frank Darabont come on and do it, you know he's going to bring his A game to it.
Exactly. It's an AMC movie, so now it's going to have a decent budget to it, decent quality, good storytelling, and hopefully they don't have to, you know, cut out any cursing or too much gore or anything like that out of the story. But it's really an emotion-driven book as it is, you know, a storytelling book as it is. So I'm interested in seeing how far in the lore of Walking Dead that he's able to take it. Up until what point does he have to cut off, you know? Like, what story are we going to see? Do we get to see the prison? Do we get to see just the beginning? Do we get to see where they're being hunted and where his storyline is now, you know? He's got 65 issues of comics that he'll have to deal with, so it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Definitely, and plus, when we were at the panel at Comic-Con, Robert Kirkman had mentioned that he plans on keeping Walking Dead going for as long as he possibly can, so there's going to be no way possible for Frank Darabont to include all of that material in the what is it, TV show?
Yeah, I believe
it's like a miniseries?
Like a TV miniseries that he's doing for AMC.
Right, so he's just going to have to pick some certain story arc and just kind of go with that.
Right, right. So, again, like I said, it'd be interesting to see where he stops off at. And if he wraps it up as a cohesive story, like having an end cap, or if it's going to be done like, you know, because they had mentioned that AMC does a horror fest every October, so that would be when the miniseries is aimed to come out. So whether or not they're going to do it like every year and catch up where we've been left off in the last one, or if it's just going to be the one miniseries and it ends at a certain point, you know, who knows.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to see how it comes out. If it ends up being good, I'm sure it'll probably end up generating enough buzz to maybe do some more. But if not, I'm still confident that it's going to be a good show.
Right, I think he's got the skills to do it. So, I mean, I'm going to have to see it, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, I think that's going to end this segment, and we will take a quick break.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
Yeah, we're back from our break. This next one, we really don't have much to talk about. I do want to bring up the fact that Marvel celebrated its 70th anniversary this year. Good for them. Otherwise, nothing really big. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and hop on in, check out the movie, and then we'll end the show with a recap of what everybody thought. So,
with plenty of spoilers.
Plenty of spoilers. So if you don't want to hear the end of the show or hear what happens in District 9, it'd be best if you turn off now. And then we'll just send Brian to your house to ruin it for you anyway. So, yeah, with that, we'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the end of the movie.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics. This is John, everybody, to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
told her she could bleed, that's why she'll never stay.
That movie was a fucking shit.
I love it.
Did you really like it that much?
Yeah. I think I just hated it.
I don't know. I just...
Okay.
I got excited at some points, and those were the points that I'm going to remember.
See, it's a ritualized summer movie. Very good to take on the whole invasion.
I really liked it. I had a really hard time getting behind the main guy for a really long time. I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy for him whatsoever. The entire picture, I just wanted him to fucking die.
I was hoping he would die.
I did not care about him at all. He was a jerk. He got exactly what he deserved the entire time. Karma's a bitch.
I thought it was awesome.
Really,
it felt really realistic
really
to me.
Well, I mean, I think it was really well done, personally, but the guy was an asshole, and I think he should have died, because it took him to the very, very end to rule a part of a pair, and then, like, well, I think I'm going to be a good person, and la-di-da-di-da. I don't think he should be turned back into
a
human.
He didn't get a
contract
until the last 10 minutes of the movie. That's what pissed me off. Right.
And the whole basis is on his love for his wife. And that's not what the movie's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about how the aliens were kept here because we're selfish and we want their technology, and then finally they got to go home, and we don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully they make a second one, but, you know, it's stuck on the whole...
Well, that's how it is when it comes to, like slavery and servants and all that shit. It takes a personal feel before it actually makes a movement against it. You know, somebody has to actually get personally involved in it.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're saying.
Like, how many Americans actually turn black?
South Africa.
Turn black?
That's what he's saying. Like, he has become part of the alien to start understanding how they feel, so he would stand up.
No, he was still a douchebag halfway.
He was still a douchebag for 90% of the fucking movie, I would say 95%.
I would say douchebag as a fucking pussy.
Yeah, he was a major vagina.
Major pussy, and
he was a walking vagina.
Yeah, he was.
If I have that fucking armor, and I just saw...
Like, the minute I got into that armor, I'd have been like,
I don't know, care if I like you or not. I'm just gonna kill everybody.
Exactly.
Trying to kill me right now. You know, it wouldn't even been about being cool with sacrificing myself for the other guy. It would have been like, I got a bigger gun.
And he kept pulling the whole, hey, you gotta do this for your kid card. I'm like, fucking,
Well, he's a selfish manipulator, and that's pretty much the whole point. He stays that way until the very, very end of the movie. Everything is all about him and what he wants. The only reason he
does
anything is because he wants something out of it.
He went through 50 years of manipulation. I mean, he was obviously a geek, dork douchebag, but he married right. You know, and he was able to manipulate his wife into gaining whatever political role he wanted to in the company. So,
yeah, they made that pretty clear.
You know, that was very obvious. And so he just kept with it, no matter through the transformation. All he cared about was getting himself right. You know, it took, like, him realizing, oh, fuck, there's nothing I can do now. I'll just do something good. And I don't even think that even happened to him, too. He's just like, my only hope of changing back is to get this fucking ship. I'll wait for 3 years if he comes back.
I think the aliens were way more normal than the human race. See how they band together to kill that dude? I'm like, you know what? Why would humans do that? They're like, fuck it! Whatever!
But I think that's the point, though. It was showing that all throughout the picture, they were the better people. That they were...
The aliens had more
than they
were. I know.
Aliens actually did land here.
That's exactly how it should happen.
The
government
would
say, fuck aliens,
I
want technology.
Right.
Yeah.
If
aliens
landed here, they would,
That would be exciting for a little while.
No, it would
and
be...
And then we would just go, fuck it, we want technology.
Anything with a higher technology into any kind of place with technology is lower. Same thing with...
I really wasn't expecting to go to a summer movie and get off throughout the whole
thing. All other stuff. The aliens landed here, they would just...
I think it was
going
to be an emotional...
I was going to make me really sad and really pissed off throughout the whole fucking movie. Halfway through, after I was like, yes, he's changing, I was like, I'm either going to be very mad and I'm going to hate the rest of the night and hardly go to sleep, or I'm going to be very happy and cry, but I'm just kind of neutral right now.
I could have walked away for this shit.
One thing I didn't like about the movie was that there's a 100-year mist.
that kind of got on my nerves after a while. Like, oh, something bad. Oh, no, somebody to the rescue.
It's still got to do its thing, you know? Not me personally, for what budget that it had, because it wasn't a big budget movie.
I think it's really well done. The guns, the superior technology, the robots.
I think I need to watch it again to have a better opinion.
Yeah, kind of like Transformers. A lot of eye candy going on.
No, it's just more of... No, Transformers, you got to watch it slow-mo.
That way you can slow it down.
I kept getting pulled out of the movie. So I'd like to see it again, because, yeah, I was pissed off throughout the whole movie, and I kept pulling myself out of it because of that.
I thought it was a well-done, as you said, a better-done Cloverfield Blair Witch type thing.
This is a Cloverfield story.
And we still don't know why it was landed here.
A little more real characters, a little more depth. Yeah, that's why, I mean, Cloverfield was a great idea, but the execution was fucking awesome. The actors were stupid, the characters were retarded.
It was very predictable. It was your classic film. I love Cloverfield.
I loved it. I watched it in the theater. I thought it was like Scooby-Doo with the handheld camera, dude. That's how deep in character those people were in that movie. It was literally in a fucking subway. They were like, let's run this way into the fucking dark. That is not what real people would fucking do.
That's exactly what real people would do. That's how real people deserve to die. I would say, look at Giant Monster. They did. Every single one of them died. They knew that they would have survived.
I'm just
talking.
Why are these giant monsters hitting on something? I'm grabbing my mates and I'm going in the opposite direction.
And then if he gets wounded, fuck it. Leave him behind. Find somebody new.
I love it. Cloverfield wasn't designed to be like this is every man going in, this is a group of dumbass fuckers who spend most of the night getting drunk and
the way they advertised Cloverfield to me, they lived in New York.
What do you expect?
What do you expect? That's a great blood in a long time. I thought it was. I know people like that.
No, the effects were good. I wanted to see the person actually explode them. Kind of behind the sheet dealing didn't do it for me. Not enough blood and guts for me personally.
I know. Yeah.
But like he was explaining through that whole film.
I like it.
He pulled each character that was going to be banned together. He's like, this person is going to be this person. The bitch is going to be nice in the end. Sacrifice himself. This person is
going to be nice.
And then the end is going to come and then they die. And then that fucking happened. So it kind of ruined it for me because he's, you know, very...
Here's the movie.
I'm not that bad, am I?
You can be. It was just too much of a staple. I'm glad you saw this. I like this kick nine.
To me, it was a shit. Especially the ending, the action sequences, once the action started rolling, I thought that was awesome. I don't know about you guys. I want to see that. That's awesome. Just walk around. Not kill people. Any movie with a mech in it is good with me.
Robot Jocks was the shit. Robot Jocks was the shit. Just heard of that right now. Never heard of that before. Robot Jocks. Last mech of the movie. They were Gary Graham from Alien Nation.
Who?
Sitting behind a mech, shooting fucking translucent hands out at everybody.
It was mech fighting.
That's all. The entire movie was mech fighting.
It's called Robot Jocks.
It was cheesy, crappy. The special effects were crap, but it was awesome.
Yeah, fight each other for people to lose it.
Robot Jocks is a football player?
Yes.
No, knock them up, please. Guys, when they get a giant fucking mech, and beat the crap out of them.
We said Jocks.
It's called Robot Jocks.
K-O-X.
Okay. That's great. I've never heard of it until just now. I'm glad people are all improving. I am. Learn stuff every day.
Yes. Too bad you can't apply it toward anything. So anyway, back to District 9.
Stab you in the eye.
So, general feeling is that it was good.
Yeah, I liked it. I want to see it again.
People should definitely go see it.
Instead of this movie, I don't have to take the childhood of my man away like we did with G.I. Joe.
No, actually, you gave him some. He gave himself with the mech.
Yeah, I got the mech. I got the mech. With the giant mech. Yeah. Fucking exploding body.
The exploding people. Especially the guy on the fucking on the Gatlin.
Fucking awesome.
He was on the Gatlin.
That sniper rifle was bad fucking ass, though.
It was. But they exploded. The people fucking exploded like a bloody.
Yeah, that wasn't
no
like
pieces.
Real,
just
real,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was, well, I mean, it makes sense if you think about it. I mean, the aliens. The aliens have an exoskeleton, so you need a better force to kill them.
It's like putting a bomb in them.
It was like putting an M80 in a tomato.
Yeah. Which is the most fantastic idea.
I would say this one and Star Trek probably got the best
summer movie.
This what Public Enemies too. Public Enemies to be still something that should have came out during Christmas.
I agree. Public Enemies was great, but not.
It's too story.
Yeah, it's a little too deep for summer, baby.
But Michael Mann, he should have saved the part.
Allegory for our times. It totally, completely fucking relates to what the banks are doing.
Fucking that. I mean, for me, man, Brian and I were talking about this earlier. For me, this is the last of the summer movies. For me, I mean.
Yeah, because the Glorious Bastard kind of kicks off the rest of the awards event.
Halloween
2?
Halloween 2.
No, that's not really a summer movie. I mean, it's coming out to prep you up for Halloween.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Those are fun movies. I think they're great fun.
On the way to October.
But it's not a blockbuster movie. That's what summer comes out.
Like
a big blockbuster movie.
It was
a good cap. I mean, Star Trek was the beginning. District 9 was the end. Everything else in the middle was shit. But
Transformers was Michael Bay's epic.
No more Michael Baying anything.
Michael Baying's enough.
Except in the end, it kind of got to him, but hey, no complaints.
I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get out of it. Just, I don't know, man. It's still too many movies in summer that suck ass, dude. for just two movies to fucking pull me out of this fucking summer season.
I know. Last year, we went to the movies just about every day. And last year,
Joe looking like sad, dude.
Movies all the time.
Transformers, if you think about it too long, totally sucks ass.
Right. Transformers was good for the 2.5 hours that it played out. Afterwards,
the more than 5 minutes away from the movie.
Right. As soon as you start to analyze and tear it apart,
piece of shit.
Yeah. It's a total eye candy. And this had more story. It was a little more in depth.
It had a moral to it.
Right. I mean,
it showed people value.
I was emotionally involved in the story.
Children can watch this and say, hey,
I got
Captain is bad.
And I was like, well, at least it's not Alf, right? Because he's not eating the cats. He's just eating the cat food. So.
That'd be cool. Alf showed up.
Right?
Yeah!
Just run through the movie.
The guy is watching.
Well, Alf's like, excuse me.
That would have been awesome. That would have been
TV show. He would have been
the heroin junkie.
If he was the drug dealer sitting in the wheelchair, like, dealing out the cat food. So he's like, I got this shit for a reason, though. Like, what's up? I mean, the cats, like,
You get the food.
Exactly.
They go for the pussy.
I want all the pussy in the movie.
All the pussy. Right? That's what Alf needs to say in the wheelchair.
All the pussy. And he needs to have, like cat bones in his hand. Like, you look, I played this motherfucker.
I gotta say, the funniest scene, though, is when he shot that pig at that one.
That was cool.
Where did the pig come from?
That was such a twister moment.
Splatter, the best was getting killed by a pig.
Did you hear?
What?
You
see
that awesome.
He got porked to death. I mean,
it is Disney.
Exactly. So it's that pretty all right, guys. Thanks a lot, everyone. This is Panelcast number 36. We will catch you guys next week.
To be, it wasn't the answer. tragic I miss. Truth is a rumor that does not exist.